Okay, so today is October 8th. It's 3 o'clock, and this is the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council meeting. And so today we have the members present, besides myself, is Kathy Castro, Ken Leon
Present.
Guerrero, and Yvette Paulino. And guests, we have Ed Lee. And then we, of course, we have Remlin Yamanaka and Christian Delgado, staff of the trust fund, who are also attending the meeting. So I'm going to share my screen just to share the agenda. Let's see, here we go. Oops, where it like disappeared. Oh, here it is. Okay, can you guys see it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. All righty. So, okay, so welcome everybody. It's nice to see everybody again. So call to order at 3:05 p.m. And first thing, oh, you know, I'm sorry, we didn't put approval of the minutes. Rem, did we send out? We need to get the minutes sent out.
Okay, yes, I think we have the minutes from last meeting.
The last time? Okay, so I apologize. We did not do that. I didn't even put that in the. Yeah, okay, so can we table that until next time and we'll send out the minutes?
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah,
Agreed.
I apologize for that. We'll table
It's
that
not
until
even
next.
on the agenda, so
Yeah, sorry. Oh, my
that's
goodness.
okay.
Not good,
All you
but
have to do is just make a note on next month's agenda, the approval of
yeah.
minutes from what day.
Yeah. So we'll put that.
No objections.
Yeah. So Remlin, put it in the minutes that we're gonna do the minutes of the next minutes. Okay.
Okay.
All right, sorry about that. And so, okay, reports from the chair. So thank you again. We had our public hearing on the rules and regs on September 15th, 2020, last month. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we basically had written testimony from three, well, we've had written testimony from three entities, Ellie, from Guam Cancer Care, and Renata Bordalio from the Guam Comprehensive Cancer Coalition. They submitted written and oral testimony, and then Long from Public Health, he did a oral testimony. And then just recently we've gotten written comments from Senator Luis Munoz's office, so we'll be looking at that too. Let's see, financial report, unfortunately, according to the website, the August 31st financial report is still not posted on the UOG website.
Excuse me, Rachel.
Yes.
Rose Greeno's trying to come in, if you can let her in,
Oh,
please.
okay. Thank you. Let me get her in. Okay, I need to get out of share. I don't know why. Let me get out of share screen. Stop sharing. And then, oh, she's not, I don't see her. She's not
Okay,
in the list.
she's trying to connect.
Okay. I'll wait for her. Okay, so while we're waiting for her, so yeah, the business office, UOG business office is still re reconciling. They're working on the reconciliation from the past UOG admin fees and kind of fixing that. So they still haven't finished the report, but that should be up soon. And I believe, you know, we kind of talked to them about it and they wanted it to go past they needed to talk to Randy Wiegand about some things in the reconciliation. So that's why it hasn't posted yet. But they'll have it soon because they need to get that up and running. Okay, I'm gonna go share screen again. Okay, and so that's that. And new applications. So these are the applications that we got for FY 2021. We received an application from Catholic Social Services. Requesting amount is $544,000. We received an application from Santa Teresita Church for $27,734. And that's for an education outreach application. American Cancer Society for $170,000. And sorry, I forgot my little dollar sign there. EM Calvo for $575,000. GMHA for $1 million. And UOG Global Learning and Engagement, GLEE, for $132,000. So the two entities that are requesting support for education and outreach are the Santa Teresita Church and the UOG GLEE program. So Remlin has gone through, started going through them, and she has crafted a spreadsheet. She's made a spreadsheet, and she's kind of just going through and making sure that they've turned everything in. So anyways, I'm going to turn it over to well, before I turn it over to Remlin, so now that we have these applications, we need to go through as a committee and start reviewing and grading them. The only issue is, you know, we basically, if you were to add up all of these applications, it totals $2,450,000. And our allotment this year that we know for sure is $1 million. And so.
Is the deadline to submit closed already?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got $1 million, but when I talked yesterday, I met with Senator Luis Munoz and her staff, Ed and James, and so Ed was mentioning that in addition to the $1 million that we're also supposed to be getting another 1.6, but that, I don't know when we're going to get that, and that might not come in until the end of the year. So we, you know, even if it comes in at the end of the year, it's not going to help us right now. So we need to talk to BBMR and find out when and if we can get that. So that could factor into, you know, giving out aid to these organizations. So it's going to be kind of a tricky, it's going to be kind of difficult to look through the applications, because if we only have $1 million, then we need to decide, you know, who are we going to give? And it's not even $1 million, it's basically $750,000. And we have about $250,000, give or take, left over from this current year. So we have about $1 million to distribute. So, you know, for sure that we can distribute. So already, you know, GMH is asking for $1 million. So it's like,
the 1.6, where are they saying this 1.6 is coming from that they're talking about?
Well, I think the 1.6 is from the projected surplus that the governor is saying they're going to have extra money. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to have that until, they won't know for sure until the end of the year. So,
Rachel, I know Ed is on. Would he be able to elaborate further, just for clarification?
Yeah, Ed, would you like to
understanding to the council members?
I have no audio.
Oh yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. One moment, because I just pulled it up on the budget. Hang on.
Thank you.
trying to access my other screen and I can't. Okay, here we go. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, on Bill, public law, whatever it is now, it's Bill 282. On page 122, there's an appropriation, and I'll read the appropriation to you. And it says the sum of $1,600,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Guam Cancer Trust Fund from any and all surpluses that may occur in any of the general fund categories of Section 2 of Chapter 1 of Public Law 3536. That's the FY 2020 budget. In the event that the surplus supra is less than $1,600,000, the appropriation is reduced to the amount of the surplus. So the surplus is from the surplus of the last fiscal year, not the next fiscal year. The problem is that they usually... The excuse that the legislature usually gets is we don't know how much the surplus is until they close the books. But all along, we've been hearing that the surplus is in excess of between $20 and $30 million. So if you're going to wait for them to close their books, that would be the only delay. But there is an exact appropriation from the general fund for $1.6 million. There is also an appropriation for... on page 38 of the budget, that should amount to about $60,000 because it's 15% of an appropriation. Wrong page. 41 of the budget. And 85% and 15%, they just divided this $300,000 appropriation by 15%. So it should be about an additional $60,000, and that's an addition to the $1 million, and that doesn't have to wait until the audit is complete. So those are the three sources of the appropriations in the FY 2021 budget.
Okay.
So technically, with your ending balance from FY 20, and the appropriation of $1 million for FY 21, plus the additional $60,000, we're pretty much close to the actual $1 million.
Yes. No. You've got $2.66 million. We tried to get you as close as possible to the awards that you were given out in fiscal year 2020.
No, I understand, but what I'm saying is we can't count the 1.6 yet.
I would try to get it.
Absolutely. But when we're looking at disbursement right now, we shouldn't really count that, but we can count the 60,000 plus the 1 million. And as Rachel says, with the 1 million, it's only about 750 because of the funding for the office, but she has
200,000 plus. I don't remember.
So technically, what we have to disburse is close to $1 million as of right now, without the one additional 1.6.
Can I ask you folks a question? The grants that you awarded in fiscal year 2020, you still have that requirement to spend it all, right? And if they don't spend it all, they're supposed to return it.
Well,
so that might be another source.
Here's the thing is that the grants that we awarded, because it was awarded so late, like, let me look at my numbers.
And then several of them have come back and asked for a no-cost extension because of the pandemic.
Okay, I understand. We've been through that last year.
Yeah. Well, so
we're going to be, we're not granting the money up front. We're granting it in arrears as they turn in their documentation and expenses. Mm-hmm. And what we can do here is we can put everybody on notice that stay in contact with us. We are in the process of receiving funds. And typically, they're going to be doing it monthly, right?
Yes. Yes.
They submit monthly. Yeah, so we're looking at somewhere in the December, January timeframe for the government to close their books, because the year end is done now. And they're in the process of closing their books. So they should have their books closed and final by the end of this year at the latest. And that once they have their books closed, we'll have the ballpark number. We may not have the exact number, but when has government ever operated on an exact number? And I think it would just require us to work closely with BBMR.
What is our deadline for final review and response to the applicants? Do you recall?
Because we don't have our rules and regs, technically, they're not technically legal. There is no real deadline, legal deadline. But, you know, we really should try to get it out as soon as possible because, you know, agencies are waiting and we want to do that.
If we adopt our new rules and regs, the enforcement of it, would it apply to these applicants? It wouldn't, because they submitted their applications before it was adopted.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
So technically,
we're working on the futures with the new with the rules. But what this does is it gives us leeway as a board on how we handle the present, the transition period. And as long as we document, number one, we have conditionally, let's say we conditionally approve $2 million on a pro rata basis, subject to funding, you know, and we just keep them in the loop. It's a pandemic. They've gone through it. We've gone through it. The government of Guam's going through it. And as long as we keep the communication open and document everything, document them up front, we have received, and which ones we've approved, but notify them that payment will be subject to availability of funds in account. And just, you know, keep everybody updated so that they don't get, let's say, for example, the legislature or the administration decide not to fully fund us. We'll have enough lead time to know that we can advise them, because we're paying in arrears. So we're not going to let them get too far out on a limb unless we know we've got good funds in account, because we don't want the organizations to get hamstrung. So right now we've got about $1 million in the bank. We've got $2 million in grants that we're going to be paying over a year. So I think we've got enough of a cush that we could ride out the next 3 to 4 months before we jeopardize any organization's financial stability, as long as we keep the communication up. Just a thought.
Yeah.
May I inquire, looking at your listing there, there's two organizations that had applied in FY20 that I don't see there. Did they just not communicate, or did they, not submit anything, or?
Hey, as far as the Ajuda Foundation, and I have them down in the new business.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, so they, you know, because of the whole situation with air, you know, their whole thing is the Wings for Life. And
right.
So they've asked, they basically haven't been able to spend any of their money, and they've asked for an extension. So that's why I didn't include them here. And yes.
But did they submit an application for next term? Or just because you didn't include it? So if they submitted an application, they should be on the listing, because this is a listing of new applicants for FY 2020. So really they should be included. Whether they can spend the money or not is not the point. The point is you're listing down new applications for that fiscal year. And if they did submit, we have to continue to keep them on the list.
Okay, I didn't put them on this new applicants for 2021 because their request was, if you will give us a no-cost extension, then we don't want to submit requests for additional funds. Because they're thinking that if they don't get an extension, they have to give the money back. And so they're going to apply again for next year. So they're asking.
Technically, they're asking for an extension for the funds we have granted them for fiscal year 2020 to be used in 2021, the entire year.
Correct.
Not just a 1 month, 2 month, 3 month. No,
they're asking. Yeah, you're correct. They're asking that's
a whole different story because that's a whole 12 months, no cost extension. So that needs more discussion further.
We'll discuss that further down. We'll discuss it.
And then the other organization, which is Guam Cancer Care, that I don't see there, did they apply?
They did not apply.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and, Remlin, do you want to give a report?
Okay, sure. So for the past few weeks, I have reviewed all the new applicants for 2021 and created a checklist spreadsheet to determine if each applicant submitted all the documents stated in the application form guidelines. So we actually received 7, which included the Azuda Foundation, but again, Mr. Espadon did indicate that if his no-cost extension letter did not get approved, then he will submit the new application. That's why he wrote 2 letters. And then for American Cancer Society, their purpose of providing cancer treatment is, again, travel reimbursement, cancer education materials, and key treatment accessories for Guam cancer patients. And then Catholic Social Services, again, to continue to provide direct services in the form of respite care services to unpaid caregivers tending to cancer patients. And then Edward M. Calvo, again, is to provide direct financial assistance to Guam's cancer patients that are not normally covered by medical insurance, such as nutritional supplements, airfare, ground transportation, and medical equipment. And Global Learning and Engagement, that's from UOG, that's GLEE. Their funds will be used to implement the SPARK Physical Education for Middle School program. And the purpose of this is to provide professional development curriculum and equipment for middle school health PE teachers. And then for GMHA is to support its oncology program and to purchase medical supplies, equipment, and services. And then for the Santa Teresita Church is to obtain SPARK PE equipment, and this education project, moved by the Spirit, will allow STC to continue and to expand their current fitness program. And also, I have been working with our new accountant to go over some invoices that we have received from the last few months to process payments.
So, Rem, can we ask how are our current recipients of FY 2020, okay, how are they doing on submitting their invoices?
Okay, so far the ones that's been submitting from monthly basis is American Cancer, Edward M. Calvo, and then for Azuda, like again, Mr. Espeldon, they can't really submit any invoices because majority of his own is, I guess, travel requirements. And then for Guam Cancer Care, I have not received any from them yet. I don't know if it's because their contract started late in the year, in May.
Okay.
But don't we require monthly reports? So it doesn't matter 1 month from when we granted them, they should be submitting a report then?
Yes, I agree. So, I mean, I will be...
I mean, I'd like that noted for the record. And I also have for a point of clarification. I understand you said that Mr. Espaldon has requested that for a no-cost extension, and should it not be granted, he intends to submit an application for FY 2021.
Yes.
Just my opinion is we've closed the application process for FY 2021.
Oh, it's submitted, Kathy.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make
sure both.
You know, because if anything, submit the application and then you can always rescind it.
Yes.
But
no,
don't
he did.
Submit it after the date. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Everything was already submitted.
Okay. So I want to make sure that's noted for documentation and for the minute.
Okay.
Thank you, Rim. Just verify again, just to follow up with Kathy. So since we dispense grants to WAM Concert Fairs, and I don't know what's that, I forgot already. So since then, we did not receive any monthly report?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Have we reached out and give a reminder just part of the requirements?
I'll let them know. I'll remind Ellie from Guam Cancer.
Make it a written reminder, letting them know, like a notice, that they're as part of the requirements is to submit reports. And I think we need to have that somehow documented via email.
Okay, will do.
Can I ask for one more clarification on the list, the applicant list?
Yes.
Are any of the ones that doesn't state education and outreach, are all the other ones direct services? Or is there any overlap? Okay, they're all direct services.
Correct.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions for Remelin?
Thanks, Rem.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. So let's move on to old business, and I guess I'm putting the rules and regs, keeping it under the old business because it's something that we're having to deal with, even though there's new aspects of the old business. So with regard to the revised rules and regs, again, we did have our public hearing on September 15th, and we received written testimony, again, from Ellie at Guam Cancer Care, Renata, and Senator Luis Munoz's office. So now what we need to do is really go through look at the comments and then, you know, make a decision of how we're going, you know, how we're going to respond to it, if we're going to accept the suggestions or what. So I just want to kind of go back to, you know, Ellie and Guam Cancer Care, the three issues, let me go back to this, let me just draw it up. Where is that? Okay. So I'm just going to stop sharing this, my screen, so that I can share Ellie's comments. And you all have, I believe, had a chance to read it. But Ellie brought up, that Guam Cancer Care brought up three concerns that just coincidentally, you know, they were also highlighted in some of the comments that were brought up by Senator Luis Munoz. So if you look at here, item 7, where it says an applicant or grant has used Guam Cancer Trust Fund as its sole and only source of 60% or more of its annual funding sources. So, and then that they had a issue with that. The other thing is no more than 35% of the grant funds it receives in a fiscal year to pay salaries and fringe benefits. And then the other issue was the 65% for the education and outreach. So I guess what I, you know,
these are also some, there's, and then Senator Munoz's office, they brought up, they had actually quite a few comments. So how do we want to proceed with this? Because we do need to, look at the comments. Oh, somebody's wanting to come in. Sorry, let me just admit them. So we do need to deal with the comments and figure out, you know, where after, you know, and then afterwards how we deal with them. But I think it's going to take more than, you know, 10 minutes in a meeting, in a monthly meeting, well, to go through.
Richard, didn't we in the last meeting that we had mentioned that after the public hearing, we will actually go back and consolidate all the comments and recommendations and concerns and address them in another council meeting specifically for the rules and regs. And if we actually make changes, we were told we still have to have another public hearing for that. So I think we need to make a motion to have a meeting again specifically for the rules and regulations and to address the concerns of the public.
I agree, Kathy. I think that's a good idea. And so here's the issue: we do have all of you folks are volunteers, and you do this out of the kindness of your heart and in your spare time. So we need to kind of like prioritize what are we going to tackle first. So. I think maybe the first thing we should tackle is maybe going through the applications first, and that's probably going to take us a couple of weeks. And then after that, maybe then we can take on the tough issue of the rules and regs. And so anyways, we have somebody else that just joined us. Mr. Kaufman, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to get back on here. Just a sec. Man. I pushed the wrong button. Okay, let me try.
Okay, anyways, so...
Are you asking for a motion for that, that we address the applications first? Are you asking for a motion for that?
Yeah, I think it would be, I don't know. What any comments or what do you all think?
I personally think that... we can finalize the rules and regs in one meeting. It just requires us to see if the comments offer anything that is of value. Because remember, this is a living document. Once we approve the rules and regulations, we can amend the rules and regulations at any time, provided we have a compelling reason to do so. But as I recall from the comments, I don't have them in front of me, I didn't hear or see anything that was related in the comments that I thought would require a change in what we put together. Just because someone's unhappy about the 35% or the 60% or something, all we have to do is acknowledge that, but we have to look at the intent of the underlying legislation that created this. And that was our roadmap as we went through the rules and regulations. So the fact that someone comments it, we can acknowledge we received the following comments. The board reviewed the comments and decided that the comments did not merit a change in the rules as approved by the board. Now, if later new information comes up or something else, we can always amend a rule after the fact. But for us to take a lot more time, and correct, I haven't seen the Senator Munoz's comments. That's why if we do one more meeting to finalize the rules, because that's the only comments I haven't seen.
Okay.
And you're saying that, was there anything substantially different than what we saw during our hearing?
Yeah, I think, Senator Louise was not able to join our meeting because she went into session, and her two staff members were unable to get online. I think there was a miscommunication. They weren't able to register in time. So they weren't able to attend and then provide testimony at the time, but they did provide testimony, I think a week or so ago. And so they did list some concerns I haven't had a chance to really go through and read it in depth because it's just, I've just been real busy. But
that's why I'm suggesting send us all their comments.
Yeah.
And then at the next meeting, let's follow the format that has gotten us this far, because we will have had a chance to review them, make our notes, compare our notes and their comments against what we've approved, so that when we have a meeting just for the final approval minute rules, we'll know whether or not anything that the senator's office has suggested would be valid reason to make changes to what we've approved.
Yeah.
Because from what we heard and saw during our public hearing, I didn't see anything that justified a change or modification to what we've approved so far. And I'm going to be open to seeing what the senator's office has to say. And if there isn't anything there, then I would say that we follow the format we did that got us this far. Just take her comments, we discuss them, and if as a group we decide that they're interesting comments, but they're not relevant enough to require a change, because the board has a lot of latitude on how we act within those rules and regulations. So unless there's something that we didn't cover or a situation we didn't consider, then that would be a valid reason to make a change. That's the way I'm thinking about it, because I want us to get this finished before the new year comes in.
I would like to get this done because we've been working on this for a really long time. We also want to make sure we do it right.
Well, that's why if we all had to get a copy and make our notes, because look at how productive our sessions were. Look at how fast we chewed through a lot of legalese.
Yeah.
And that was because we were prepared, we had reviewed, we all had our notes about things that concerned us, and we were able to address huge chunks of rules in a short period of time once we got on the subject.
Yeah. Okay, so I will send them. Right now. And so at the next meeting in November, I just feel like we can't do, I think Kathy's right. We need to have a special meeting focus on the rules and regs, but we also need to have another meeting just focused on going through the applications. And
so we do two meetings in November.
Yeah, we'll probably have.
What we'll do is we'll just continue this meeting because it's already on the agenda, approval of rules and regulations. So we'll just adjourn and continue. We'll recess and continue this meeting, and then and meet again in 2 weeks. And then in 2 weeks, that should be enough time for us just to read those items and deal with those items. And then when we go into our November meeting, we can go in and start with the applications.
Okay. So you guys would prefer doing the rules and regs first before the applications? I'm kind of thinking maybe we need to focus on the applications first, but then again, we're not sure about the money. So, I'm willing to.
Well, I think the certainty right now is government in Guam is closing their books, and for the next few weeks, they're not going to know anything. But in 2 weeks, we can be done with this item on our agenda, and then meet the first, after the 3rd of November. have a meeting after the 3rd of November, and then start the review of the applications.
Okay.
And if we have to, you know, meet like we did, because it would be wonderful if we were able to clear our decks by the end of the year, because if I get elected, then I'm going to have to step down.
Yeah.
I'm already searching for replacements following the time-honored Kathy Castro tradition. So I'll try to come up with some names to submit to the group in the event that I have to step down. But I would like us to get through what we have on our agenda today before the end of the year.
And just as a point of reminder to all, my term ends in January too.
I think everyone's term ends and everybody has to be renewed. So
mine will not be renewed because I am not the chairperson any longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my term ends in December, December 31st.
So technically speaking, I could submit a name to the board of someone namely Kathy Castro as an independent member of the community, not necessarily representing an organization. The look on your face is priceless, Kathy. It's priceless.
You know me, I'm rarely tongue-tied, and I am now.
I do. Okay, well.
This is an offline conversation.
Yeah, we'll
cross that bridge.
Cross that bridge. Okay, so we'll recess the item, the agenda item of reviewing the rules and regs and the comments. We'll recess and we'll take that up in 2 weeks, which will be October 22nd. That's okay.
October 22nd is my birthday.
Oh, okay.
And also I have campaign events all afternoon. So either the 21st or the 23rd would work for me.
Yvette, how is your teaching schedule?
I reserved the Thursdays at this time. How is the, would it make much of a difference if we moved it to the week after?
The 29th?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Fine with me as well.
I'm okay with that. Afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, afternoon is fine.
I'm good.
Okay, so we'll recess this item until the 29th, and then we'll go through it. And that the 29th will be devoted solely to going through through the comments. And I just sent it to you so you can read through it. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So so that being said, we can move to new business. And the only action item I have on the new business is to discuss the request by the Azuda Foundation to extend their FY 2020 award and you know what, maybe what we should do is, gosh, Rem, do we have the Mr. Espaldon's memo? And we could maybe read it out to them, to everybody? Because I don't have it. Do you have it, Rem?
Yes, I do have it, yes. Okay. Do you want me to just read it, Doc? Dr. Rachel?
Is that okay? Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm looking, here we go. Okay, here he goes. Dear Dr. Leon Guerrero, on behalf of Azuda Foundation, I am submitting an application for consideration for FY 2021 grant funding from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund. Established in 1996, Azuda is a local and federally registered nonprofit corporation. Our primary purpose is to provide medical services and humanitarian assistance through medical missions, medical equipment, supplies, donations, typhoon and natural disaster relief, and other undertakings which contribute to the health and welfare of Pacific Islanders in our region. One such undertaking has been the creation of Azuda's Wings for Life program, established in 2006. WFL continues to assist people with various illnesses, including cancer, by covering their airfare needs for off-island treatment, utilizing donated airline reward mileage points. Based on our experience, Azuda submitted an application for Guam Cancer Trust Fund grant funding on January 9, 2020 for cancer-specific cases. On January 16, 2020, Azuda was notified that it was approved by the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council for a grant award from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund. The grant was awarded to provide direct services in assisting cancer patients who have been medically referred for off-island treatment, cover the cost of their round-trip airfare tickets. The term of the 2020 grant award contract to Azuda covers the period from January 25, 2020 to January 31, 2021. However, due to processing delays, the official notification of the award of the grant signed by the UOG president was received by Azuda on March 11. Furthermore, the initial increment of Azuda's grant from the GCTF was not received until May 4, 2020. Since then, the COVID-19 pandemic has presented obstacles to cancer patients' travel plans for off-island treatment. These patients and their physicians have had a difficult time scheduling and confirming appointments at cancer treatment centers in California and the Philippines. These destinations are or had been designated as hotspots for the virus. The delay in the initial funding and the challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic has hampered Azuda's ability to fully deliver the services for which Azuda was awarded a grant. As a result, the main corpus of the 2020 grant award in the amount of $671,480 to Azuda Foundation from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund is still pretty much intact. Therefore, based on the above, on behalf of Azuda's Wings for Life Cancer Assistance Program, this application is a request for an extension to use the GCTF 2020 grant award money until December 31st, 2021, in place of the contract, which will be expired on January 31, 2021. Should this request be granted, an additional funding is eventually needed to see the program through to December 31, 2021. Then Azuda intends to submit, depending upon availability of FY 2021 Guam Cancer Trust funds, an application for supplemental funding. We ask you for your consideration on this request and look forward to your favorable response.
Thank you, Ram. So he's actually asking not until the end of the fiscal year, but actually a little bit further. So
I say we approve their request. It makes things easier from a paperwork point of view. And I'm sure it makes things easier from an accounting point of view. And it allows us to spend more time focusing on the other six applications.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're giving them what they want.
My comment is that the monies that he's been granted has already been appropriated and is there from FY20. So we don't need to figure out giving him money out of FY21 budget. I do understand that there are challenges because I've had numerous conversations with him where cancer patients have been trying to get on. It's not just an issue of getting off the island, but more so that oftentimes the receiving facility will not accept the patient because they are inundated with their own patients and not taking out-of-state patients, or that due to the pandemic, they are not allowing anyone into their facility, et cetera. So really, it's placed additional hardships on and challenges on the patients. But I think that given the fact that COVID is ever-changing, these cancer facilities might just open up, and then the patient might be able to leave, and then he's able to provide the assistance. But we don't know that because everything happens on a day-to-day basis. I think, like I said, the money's already been appropriated. If we extend it, you know, it's there, it's his. But if we let him reapply for 21, our pot is already small to begin with. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with both. I would be in favor of this. The only thing I would precaution on is there was a mention of supplementary funds, and I think we just need to remind them that there is no application process for supplementary funds. We run on a yearly cycle, so make sure that explicit, and if we do decide to approve, it's explicit in the approval letter.
I support it as well, you know, giving them an extension. This pandemic and this COVID is evolving, but I think we're seeing now that the other hospitals in will focus now on the really doing the care of this other non-related to COVID. That's also hampering our, healthcare system. These patients needs to have an off island. Is actually we're working on, like from the clinical standpoint, that we're actually working now because we don't want him to wait so long. So I do support for this extension by Ajuda Foundation's request.
Can we also in our response letter state that due to the unusual circumstances of the pandemic, we are granting this. That way, it doesn't set a precedent for future applicants. You know, mm-hmm. that we're very, I mean, we actually qualify why we're doing it, because otherwise we're going to put ourselves in a predicament for a future, and we don't want to set any precedents.
That's actually a really good idea. It really is. We are approving, I move that we go ahead and approve it on the condition of the pandemic and make that in the clear in the approval letter. That way, if anybody else wants to come back, you say, well, do we have a pandemic now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because our no-cost extensions have always been on a case-by-case basis anyway.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a great idea. And, we in our response, we can say, although it's not our usual process, we will grant you an extension, no cost extension due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I have one. I was wondering, because do we want to grant it an extension till December 31st, or do we want to grant it until 9/30/2021, because that's the end of the fiscal year? Do we want
to say let's grant it to the 31st, because that's the year they are operating.
Okay. All right. So we'll just give them a 1 year till December 31st, 2021. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm fine with that. So that means, and we need to also make it explicit that funding beyond December 31st, 2021, he'll need to submit an application next year. Mm-hmm. For additional
prior to the deadline.
Yeah, prior to the deadline, he'll need to submit. Yeah.
I move that we approve the request for no cost extension to January 2021. I mean 2022.
Actually, December 31st.
December 31st. Okay. With the conditions as discussed by the board.
I second.
All approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. All right. So thank you for that. So we've finished our official business, and I will open it up for comments or questions or discussion. And I see that Mr. Kaufman is he's raising his hand, so I will. Okay.
Yes, I unmuted.
Okay, you're.
Okay, are we good?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. I'm the director for Osmujau Community School, and we have a home health care license. And in that home health care, what we're looking at doing is providing meals to individuals who are in the feeling toward preventive medicine, preventive of a cancer. You know, we work so much on helping people after they get cancer and all these other things, but we're really looking at the prevention of it. And the meals that would be provided would be all organic. They'd all be plant-based, and they would be something that we would be able to provide through Osmujau's home health care and deliver to different people's homes. And then I know that already we've had a time you know, to apply. So, you know, the next time it comes around, the only thing I would try to clarify, would this be something that would make sense to you fine folks, and would be something that would be worthy for us to apply for in funds to supply this in a preventive method, I guess, you know, to try to have, so cancer doesn't even start. What we know cancer has a food and it's sugar. And if we can get food out to people that tastes good, they really like, there's no sugar in it, it's all plant-based and delivered, would that be something that would be worthy of a proposal, I guess is what I'm...
May I take that?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Dr. Sorry. Rachel, may I take that?
Sure, absolutely.
Mr. Kaufman, just for your information, the public law that created the Guam Cancer Trust Fund was very specific that stated that the funds are to go to nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, we're nonprofit.
Yeah, that provide direct cancer, direct services to cancer patients. So they must be already a cancer patient.
Okay, so what we would look at maybe is a beginning, you know, like a stage one. I'm not sure. I know you hear stage four all the time, right? But if there's a stage one that's once it's identified, then in preventive, of course, we would want to stop the stage two, stage three, stage four. And so maybe we would propose to go after stage one, if in fact there is such a thing, patients who have been diagnosed with some type of cancer.
But I'm going to yield that to the nurse that's on.
Okay. Okay, sure. Yeah.
On the council.
I'm just, we've had this license for a while.
Understood.
And we know how important it is to get, you know, to stop it. We know once it gets to a certain point, it's so hard to stop that if we go in at an entry level stage one, if in fact that exists, once a diagnostic report comes back for the individual, that we'd be able to supply that food to them. Make sense?
Hi, Mr. Kaufman.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Rose. Aside from that, being the board here, I'm a registered nurse. So I'm just trying to understand. So you're trying to work on something, a nutritional.
Yes.
For the cancer patient at the early stage of the diagnosis.
Yes. To try to keep the advancement down.
As with any other nonprofit organization that apply for the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, you know, you are welcome to put together your program. We're
going
to
go into
that, and then we'll look at it and submit the criteria based on the criteria that is set forth by the, you know, for being direct services and what kind of services you're doing. So,
sure.
We'll look into it.
And then of course, put a budget, apply a budget to it. Now my question is, when's the next round of times when this can be submitted? I mean, didn't we just finish one, or is this ongoing? Can you do it anytime?
Well, yeah, we just finished a round. The last round of applications was due September 1st. So the next round of a call for proposals won't happen until most likely June or July.
Okay.
Or September 1st.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of, getting the information from you fine folks of whether or not this is something that makes sense, and then I can start working on the proposal. And then in June, July, when you advertise this, then we'll be able to submit. Great. All right.
Mr. Kaufman, may I just add, as you are plotting your proposal, we do emphasize evidence-based practices. So if you can support your proposal with evidence that's out there, that supports your program. Yeah.
Guam's food is so good. It tastes, we're number one culinary, Chicago, Illinois. Nobody can beat us. And I was in Texas, and the Monanco in Texas is 65. So I went to GPO. I went to the movies when we came back from the States summer before last. And I asked the ticket lady, I said, why is it that in Texas, Monanco, the senior citizens is 65? Why is it Guam? It's 55. You know, she didn't even blink. She looked straight at me. She said, it's our diet. We die in our 60s. Wow. Wow. You know, I mean, and she's selling tickets, right? You know, and it was such an eye-opener to us that if we can get in on the ground floor in that preventive sense and try to suppress the stages of whether or not, I know some people who have died and they don't care because the food's so good, and they sacrifice being a husband, they sacrifice being a grandparent, they sacrifice, of course, being a parent, but the food is so powerful that,
Just make sure in your application you cite your evidence and science-based information and websites so that we can vet them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I'm really excited about getting the news from you fine folks.
Okay, great. You're welcome.
Thank you. And what we're saying now is be safe, be love. Sound good?
Thank you.
Be safe, be love. Bye.
Thank you.
Did anybody else, Ed, did you guys join? Did you wanna say anything, or did you have anything to bring up?
It's just great listening. You guys are doing a good job.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, and I just went into the waiting room and I saw that Senator was there, and so I admitted her, but I think she had to leave. So I apologize for that. So
do you want to try to reach her and maybe she can come back on?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Ed, do you know if there's anything?
I texted her and said you guys were at the end of the agenda. So
I think she went
to do something else.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go ahead and, Ed, I'm going to pass on your comments since everyone's on the, in the meeting right now. But
yeah, Rachel knows about it.
So, or do you want to share it? You can go ahead and share your comment.
Yeah, I'll share it. When I did the notes, and these are just notes, these are just suggestions, but when I did the notes, my eyes are not as good as they should be. So I, instead of using the zoom in, zoom out part of the Adobe Acrobat, I accidentally enlarged the fonts. And so I had different page numbers than what was on the original page document. So, but it still flows through. It's just the page number references that are off. So you might notice that, trying to think, oh, this is page 11, but I see it on page 9 or whatever.
Thank you. Yeah, no worries.
Not a problem. Yeah.
And Rachel,
yes.
The draft, that's still a draft where James is going to send you the proposed legislation that we're going to try and fix a few statutory issues.
Okay.
Like the investment statute,
would
public auditor mentioned.
Would you care to share like the gist of what, because what I read yesterday was I really liked it, and would you care to maybe just share kind of the gist of this public law that, or this legislation that the senators.
Okay. Yeah. One of the traditional challenges that the Guam Cancer Trust Fund has had with certain grantees is what are administrative expenses, and federal grant definitions have a specific set of how they differentiate between administrative and operational expenses. Operational expenses for a grantee are usually expenses that are involved with direct services or supplies that grants are supposed to fund. Administration means the accountants, the rent, the insurance, the administrator or general manager or president of the organization. Those are administrative expenses. So one of the things we did with the legislation was to come up with a definition that mimics the federal definition and say these are administrative expenses, so there's no budge in what they are. Because what happens when people don't know what administrative expenses are? Well, they start putting the nurse's salaries, the driver's salaries, the technician salaries, or whoever provides the services, and then they can never come fit within the 15%. But if you just limit the chiefs of the organization, the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer, their rent to the 15%, it's a whole lot better. And that's what most federal grant definitions use. So we tried that. And the other one was there's a provision in the Guam Cancer Trust Fund law that says that the Guam Cancer Trust Fund can spend 75% of its appropriation on services and outreach. And then out of the 75%, then 10% can be spent on, no more than 10% can be spent on outreach. But it says absolutely nothing as to what can be spent, what the 25% that they can't use is for. So what we did was we kind of tweaked around the language for the investment part so that it gives the University of Guam, which is the administering agency, a little bit more flexibility with what they can do, rather than leaving them to try to fill in the gaps and coming up with differences from what the public auditor says and what other people say and what the council members think. So those are just the two basic things that the bill is intended to do.
And I liked what the language was in the dealing with the investment, because it was basically saying that, you know, okay, we'll designate 25% or whatever that percentage is as savings until the funds are needed to be dispersed. So it's basically saying you kind of put some aside, but then it you're putting it aside to basically
Yes, because it really doesn't make sense that your folks are you can't spend 25% of your appropriation, and then doesn't tell you what you can do with that 25% ever. It's a perpetual 25%. And I mean, one of the things that I would like to see is what are the conditions that the Guam Cancer Trust Fund might want to add to it that would trigger the use of that 25%. Let's say they don't get any appropriations, but I don't want to do that because that will just give the legislature an excuse to not give you money.
Correct.
Which right.
It's our rainy day fund, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't want them to create a rainy day fund by not appropriating money. The Guam Cancer Trust Fund law existed for more than 10 years, and it says 15% of the Healthy Futures Fund. And the Healthy Futures Fund is funded 90% by people who smoke cigarettes. And then the other 10% of people use other forms of tobacco and alcohol. And we know that the hardest cancers to treat and the biggest cancer killer on Guam is lung cancer. And it's caused by smoking. And so every time the legislature cuts the Guam Cancer Trust Fund short, it limits the ability to help the most seriously ill cancer patients that we have on the island. And, you know, that's, we want to make sure that the public is aware of that. We want to make sure that every time the legislature goes into budget session, that this is a priority. And keep in mind, you know, heart disease kills more people, but cancer is much more difficult to treat and much more taxing on families.
Much
people
more
die
expensive.
Of heart attacks every day, yeah, but expensive. People die of cancer slowly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate your comments. And if there's nothing else, we will recess the meeting until October 29th, where we will take up the discussion of the rules and regs. Yeah.
Rules and regs in the comments. And
rules and regs. Yeah. All righty.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Be
safe. Okay.
Thank
you. Bye.
Thank you.
Vote. Register and vote safely.
Yes. Well, I already voted. I did early voting. So.
Good. So is your recording?
Oh, and I need to hold on. Yeah, let me
hang on.
Stop the recording.